The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to me and to you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet." So they took it. When the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, that person called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Now it's easy, right? At least it is for me when thinking about Jesus's miracles to go right to maybe some of his biggest hits. You know, the walking on water, the healing of the sick, this turning water into wine, and the resurrection thing. And it's a pretty big one if you haven't heard of that one. Or my personal favorite, right? The casting a legion of demons into a herd of pigs and then sending them off a cliff to their doom. That's a pretty fun one if you don't know about that one. And for some reason, maybe because of how they are depicted in pop culture or because of my own wild imagination, I tend to imagine these miracles as some big events in front of a crowd of people oohing and aahing, right? Like some magic trick on TV, right? And I also imagine Jesus with this plan on his way to the cross, knowing exactly what he is going to do in order to set himself up as the Son of God in his grand revelation plan. It's not exactly what we see here, right? See, at this wedding, we see a Jesus that seems to be focused elsewhere. His mind seems to be anywhere but this wedding. When the wine runs out, Jesus isn't exactly jumping out of his seat, ready to save the day. He is just getting started on his ministry, and there's a lot for him to do. It's assumed he knows where this will all end up eventually one day, and that is where his mind seems to be. "My time has not yet come," he says. But it takes his mother to push him a little and say, "Yes, but there is good that can be done here as well." She seems to pull him back towards humanity a little bit and say, "You have to look at the little picture as well, son." And so he does. But few seem to know it was even him that did it. Even the person in charge of the banquet know that it was him. The servants and the disciples, they know. But the rest of the wedding banquet, they don't even know. So I don't think there was the crowd going, "Ooh, ah." Now, why is this important? This turning the water into wine at the banquet feast? Because if you run out of wine, that means that the party's over, right? Everybody goes home. The music stops, the DJ goes home, right? And we all know about Jesus and his big party habits, right? That's not the point of the story. To run out of wine at a celebration like this would have brought shame upon the groom and the family. It would have been a sign of poor hospitality in that they either didn't plan right with their funds or that they were being stingy, right? For them to run out of wine would not have been good for them socially and in a shame and honor society like theirs. It would have been a pretty big deal. So Jesus stepping in to take care of somebody, he is addressing their needs right then, addressing the needs of somebody now. But we know the rest of the story. We know that he goes on to the cross and still does what he needs to do. We know that he still goes on to feed the hungry, but those aren't the ones who need help in this exact moment. Now, this miracle is the first one that appears in the Gospel of John, and it sets up the rest of Jesus's ministry. The very fact that it shows up at a wedding shows us that Jesus' ministry is one that is set in relationship. His first miracle is at a place of relationship and relationship building. And it is an act of favor, of grace and mercy that we see comes with him in the rest of the gospel, in meeting the needs of those he meets along the way as he is headed towards the cross. And the relational piece isn't lost on him as well as he moves on through his ministry. It's all in relation to God and humanity, even in the cross. Maybe especially in the cross, this relationship is ever present in the grace and mercy that Jesus continues to share with you, looking upon you and seeing that your cup too has run out, seeing that you are in need of a forgiveness and healing that you can never on your own receive. And so he says, "You can have mine," right? God sees you as you are and calls you forgiven. And so the greatest miracle, perhaps, is the one where you recognize just how loved you are by this God in the person of Jesus Christ that has called you child of the Most High. God knows the needs of this world and continues to work miracles every day. And sometimes, folks, these miracles are done by the very people that pray every week in this space, "O God, may your kingdom come." And you've heard me say before, that's the danger of praying some of these words, is that God may answer them. And God may use you to answer them. Because when you pray, "Oh God, your kingdom come," God may try to use you for this very kingdom to come. And so this text serves as a reminder for us to look around us and see who are the hungry ones now, right? Who are the ones currently in need now? When somebody comes through our doors crying out in pain or in need, what is our call as followers of Jesus Christ? There are people in this very community whose cups have run out one way or the other, with nowhere to turn. Those without homes that are being told over and over again that the shelters have no room. Those who have come here looking for a better life only to face prejudice over and over again. Our LGBTQ siblings, our youth specifically facing a mental health epidemic, and yet I just found out this week that there's no official support group for these youth here in Wisconsin Dells. Or our countless military veterans that have to wait months and months and months to get the care that they need on less than adequate support and programs, right? These are people in your neighborhoods, in your communities, even in your church. If you don't recognize it, right? They're here. You may not know it, but they're here that need you. Because God is indeed still doing miracles for those who are in need. And the Spirit is still at work among the body of Christ. That's you. You're the body of Christ. You, dearest siblings in Christ, who have been marked by the cross of Jesus Christ, have the ability, the responsibility, and privilege to bring the healing power through the grace and mercy of Jesus into the world. In you, yes, you, eye contact with each of you, you, okay? The Holy Spirit can work wonderful things, miraculous things. The light of Christ shines in you that you may be a beacon of hope for somebody that is in search of hope, who is in need in a way that I hope that another has been that beacon for you once before. And if you are still in need of that hope, or you find yourself once again in need of hope, as we all do, know that you too are invited to the wedding feast of plenty. The table has been set, and there is room enough for all. For Christ came that the world might be saved through him. The world, right? All of it. Whether you agree with half of it or not. In a world full of empty cups, Jesus Christ finds a way to make sure all have enough through the healing that is found in the abounding grace and mercy received in his dying and rising, now and forever. Amen.